freezing up here, bro.
It is chilly.
Get under that blanket.
Yeah.
I'll stop hogging it because everyone gets mad at me in the comments. Hey, Alyssa.
Hey, Samantha.
Welcome back.
Are you ready?
To your own podcast.
Thanks.
And would you consider yourself ready?
I would consider myself ready.
Well, then let's do it. Stuck at the office or traffic jam. Time to take it easy with Alyssa and Sam. Is that show you know? A pro.
She's singing it in her head.
Yeah.
I did. I'm pretty sure I responded back to someone that was like sad about us not recording, like filming anymore, being like, well, at least the theme song will be in the podcast now on YouTube. And they're going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Real slap in the face way to start 2021.
Yeah.
Since we finally can, today we're going to be talking about my makeup brand. Which by the time that this is posted, we'll just have to wait to post it until I launch, God knows when, because yeah. Shipping is so delayed. But by the time it's launched, you guys will already know the name. So the name is Auric. A-U-R-I-C.
My eyes are just like watering. I don't even know what to say.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time coming. It feels like the longest process ever, and this like the last couple months like leading up to launch have felt both so slow and so speedy because like there's so much going on and so many things going wrong last second because that's how it always goes. Like we found out yesterday our shipper boxes for like the consumers aren't supposed to be in like the warehouse until February now, so that would just that one piece not being there would mean that we would have to push the launch to February, which it's December right now. We're hoping to launch in January. That was like the whole plan.
Yeah.
And so we were like going back and forth and back and forth because they originally told us that it would take 3 weeks lead time to have those boxes in the warehouse. And we ordered on December 3rd.
Where are they?
February 4th.
Yeah.
Deb?
Make it make sense.
Yeah. Oh, God. So then we were, like, arguing back and forth with that person last night. But she texted us this morning to say that they would be in the warehouse for January 22nd.
You know what bugs me is when people, like, give you something, and if you accept it, then you just have to deal with it. But oftentimes, like, if you cause a stink, they're like, oh, okay, never mind.
The amount of times something like that has happened with, like, this makeup brand, And not with small things either, like with like huge, huge, huge differences in price points and stuff like that. That there was one that they were like, oh, sorry, that was a typo. And we were like, that would have cost us thousands of dollars if we had just said, oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Which like, I mean, obviously, you know, it's wise to check numbers as a business owner, but like,
yeah,
but if we had just said okay, then that would have been that.
And I question everything.
Yeah, man. As you should.
Yeah.
As you should.
I'm not, like, up there, like, causing a stink about nothing. But, you know, if somebody tells me something's going to be one way and then it's not anymore, I'm like, okay, so tell me why.
Well, and I think the thing is, too, is, like, with so many different businesses, there's so many moving parts that people don't even realize that you have to be that on top of everything. And you can't let anything slip between the cracks because if you do, then that it's like this one element for everything to fall apart.
Yeah.
So that's been definitely my experience.
Yeah. No kidding.
Thus far. But I guess should we talk about the products that we're launching with?
Well, but I kind of want to like go back. Like,
oh, let's take it back.
Yeah. Because this is such like a huge, exciting thing. And it's not weird, but it is weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird to think, like, you have a makeup brand.
It is weird. And I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, I wonder if it's weird for, like, Matt or Alyssa or, like, the people that are, like, around me to – because you knew this was going on the whole time, but then to, like, just have it in your hands.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, you're not there for, like, phone calls and crap like that.
No,
like, having to travel and all this kind of crap. But, like, then to just be like, oh, that happened. Okay.
Dude, when I saw it in, I guess we can talk about what it is. So when I saw like the luminizer in the packaging and then like we opened it up and I was like, this is a product. Like, I know. This is, like, I could buy this.
It's so different, too, because, so one of the first products is the Luminizer, which is, like, a liquid highlight. And it's so different seeing all those separate components and then seeing it come together at the end, because, like, I had already seen the bottle and the pump and the cap and obviously the formula.
Yeah.
And the secondary, like, the box it comes in. But then when I got sent it from the production line all together, I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is so weird. Like, it's so bizarre to just hold it and see that all in one. And also, it was such a weird moment. We've been doing, like, the bulk of the production during COVID. Well, all of it.
Yeah.
Most of running this business has been during COVID, unfortunately. And so, you know, we had plans, my mom and I, because we both live in Canada, we had plans to travel to our different labs in different countries, and to be there for the production day, just so that, you know, we can be there to check everything and see how it is made and just, like, watch it all go down, basically. And so we missed that because we aren't able to travel. And now, especially because you technically are allowed to travel for work, but, it's a hard thing to justify.
Well, and you're also pregnant.
Exactly. Yeah. And so now that I'm pregnant as well, I'm just really not keen on taking them chances, you know?
No, for
just
sure.
Just really not. So we didn't get to go out and see the production line, but our team that's down in LA sent us video of it, and it was so weird to be like I know we've been talking to this lab for months and we've been doing this and getting samples back and forth and we've talked to them plenty of times and stuff like that, but like seeing like a business producing my products,
yeah,
was so bizarre. Like, I was like, oh wait, do they know that this isn't real? like are they aware that this is just for funsies? Like, it's so odd. Like, it made me feel it was so bizarre to see that amount of product,
yeah,
and realize that that was like what we've been,
well, and like employees like putting it together and, mm-hmm, you know what I mean, like it's so cool that you dreamed up the idea to have a makeup like brand and then conceptualized it and then did all like the creative work, and now it's like it's coming to fruition and there's just like video of people putting your product into boxes and that's going to go to consumers.
It's so weird. And like the one lab down in California where the one product is made, the iDuo, which is the other product that we're launching with, they do like, they have this like big sheet where has every piece of your packaging on the sheet, and then it shows like how everything is supposed to be assembled exactly. And the one girl from our team sent me a picture of that, and I was like, this is just so bizarre that someone like put together this sheet with our stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's just the most like mind-boggling experience ever.
Yeah, like this is so important.
Yeah,
that like we need like a sheet to know
like an instructional sheet. Yeah, it's so bizarre.
So I wanted to ask you, like, because obviously you and I have known each other since, like, babies. No, I'm just kidding. But, like, high school. Back when you first got into makeup, what did you think you were going to do with makeup? Like, did you ever dream of having your own makeup brand, or was this not even something that was on your radar?
I think for a long time, I liked the idea of that, but I was like, oh, that's not never happening. And so when I first started getting really interested in makeup, like in grade 10, I really fell in love with the brand MAC, and that was like what I wanted my career to be. Like, I wanted to work for MAC. I wanted to like that to be like my whole life, because like MAC was my whole life. It sounds so silly, but like,
no, it was.
I loved that brand, like, and I loved so much about what they stood for at the time, and the artistry and everything about it. Like, it was just such a immersive experience, and I think a lot of people feel similarly about MAC, or look back on it fondly for the same reasons. But as I went on to actually work at MAC, and it was good. it was like an interesting experience, but at the same time, like, that was the first time I remember feeling really disenchanted by makeup.
Right.
Because there was something weird to me. I coveted the makeup that I got so much, and like I would just use it and use it and use it and like never let anything go to waste. And like, and then to go into like the back room for the first time and see this like surplus of product, I was like, oh
yeah,
this lipstick isn't made specially for me. Like I can't even describe it. It was just so weird to see such a large stock of product for some reason,
right?
When for the longest time it was like I was having to like buy one product at a time kind of thing. But that was like the first moment where I was kind of like, oh, this is not really what I thought it was for some reason. And then when I went to makeup school, started learning a little bit more about the cosmetic industry and a bit about production, like not a ton, but we learned little like fun facts more so. Like the NARS packaging was one of the first companies to come out with like the rubberized packaging on the outside, so it has that soft matte touch to it, which is like really like beautiful and luxurious.
And yeah, it feels so buttery. I love that packaging.
Yeah. The only thing that sucks with that is that it gets so fucking dirty.
It does get so dirty. I have like a orgasm blush.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just pink on the outside.
I know, yeah.
It's not black anymore.
It's like the when you first take it out of the package, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Oh my God, like so satisfying. Like I just love it and it looks so different. But yeah, it's a fucking mess. But the story is allegedly that the reason they did that is so that if you dropped your product,
it wouldn't break
because it wasn't like this rigid case. It kind of had that like soft outer layer. So we learned little things like that in makeup school. And then when I became an influencer and I started working with brands directly, I was such a nosy bitch. Like I asked every fucking question I could possibly ask. Like anytime they would let me go like anywhere near like the product development room, like I would be in there asking questions, asking what they were launching next, like just because I found it so interesting learning more about the process and learning like what goes into making a product, because it is so easy to feel like, especially when we see trends that like wave through the industry where everyone's coming out with the same type of product. Like maybe it's like a really similar eyeshadow palette or really similar like highlight formula or whatever. It's so easy to feel like, oh, then this must not take that long, but it takes forever. Like even brands that have, you know, tons of resources, there's still months and months and months usually to produce products. And then smaller brands who, you know, can't afford to do things the same way that larger brands can.
Mm-hmm.
Years usually.
Yeah.
And so that was like when, I can't even remember what your first question was. Oh yeah. Did I want to start a makeup brand?
Yeah.
My answer is yes. I, the more that I got involved in makeup, it was kind of like this weird ebb flow of like being so in love with it and so like enchanted, and then sort of being a little bit let down when I started to learn more, and then trying to like almost bring that like love back by learning like how much went into it, because I wanted to feel like, ugh, this is so weird, but like makeup was so meaningful for me, so I hated feeling like, is this something that's just thrown together?
Right.
And I think like learning about the production of it made me fall like back in love with makeup, because I was like, no, like there's so many people, and there are brands that throw shit together for sure.
Yeah.
But there are also brands that spend so much time and so much energy, and you know, they are just doing everything they can to like innovate and make really interesting product. And then that goes from, you know, like the development room to photo shoots with that product. And it's like the whole experience to me is like what made me kind of like fall back in love with makeup. So I would say that my desire for wanting to start a brand grew the longer that I was in the industry.
So when did you actually, okay, well, I have two questions. When did you actually decide this is something I'm going to do, like in your mind? And when did you start reaching out to figure out how you could make it happen?
Oh boy. I think I probably started, I think I decided it was something I was going to do maybe 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I move slow. Okay. And that was when I kind of started like conceptualizing the brand and trying to learn as much as I could and asking questions and all that kind of stuff. And then when I started actually trying to put the wheels in motion was probably more like 5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
You literally never told me anything about it.
Because nothing was happening. Like, that's right. The thing. Like, we, so when I say we, it was me and my mom. but I, originally, like, I had met this one person, and this person was going to, like, potentially be an investor. And then that ended up falling through. And then I asked my mom to start working with me. That was probably, like, 4 years ago-ish. It's crazy that it's been that long. But that was probably about 4 years ago that my mom started working with me on it. And same thing, like, we would talk to an investor, it would fall through, talk to an investor, it would fall through, because we talked about this. I think that podcast will probably come out first.
Probably.
Yeah, okay. So we talked about this probably on the last podcast then, where, you know, I wasn't willing to give up very much control of my company.
Right.
Because I wanted to be able to, I wanted to be able to have control over everything and not you know, be at the whim of somebody else that's not really involved. This one investor that we had talked to, like, when me and my mom were trying to work on it, and we were trying to do things behind the scenes as well. Like, so alongside negotiating with this investor, we were trying to get it going on the back end as well, which is a nightmare. Like,
yeah.
If you don't know what you're doing, it's abundantly clear. Like, it is,
right.
And it's so, it becomes so much more expensive because you don't know what you're doing, basically. And so there's this one major company in particular that basically acts as like a middleman. So you would come to them as a brand, and they would produce products for you based on what you're saying you want. So you'd be like, I want a cream blush, and this is what I want the packaging to look like, and whatever. And then they would go, they have, you know, connections like across all of these different manufacturers. So they would find a lab that could do it for you. They would send you the samples. They would do the packaging for you, everything, like start to finish, as much as you want done in-house by them, they will do. So that was what me and my mom were kind of looking at doing for a while. And those were the people that we were talking to for like several months. And we had traveled to go meet them in two different places because they had offices down in LA. Then they had offices in New York.
And this was 4 years ago?
Yeah. And so we, yeah, this was like, yeah, no, it probably was about 4 years ago, four to like 3 years ago. We had gone down to LA, and that office just like was so slow getting back to us. Mm. They weren't really like as engaged as we wanted them to be. And I cannot even describe how expensive it is going this route. Like, it is.
Oh, really?
It's outrageous. Like, just like as one example, when you want to make custom products, you have to open a new tool, it's called. So, let's say I wanted to make like a custom cap, I would have to open a new tool for that custom cap. So they would be producing like, you know, like a piece for a machine, basically, is what I understand. I don't fucking know. but they, I haven't gotten to go to the factory and see it. But they would be opening this new tool, and that's quite costly a lot of the times. This middleman company was going to charge us like something outrageous. Like, I want to say it was $160,000 to open a new tool.
What?
And then when we started talking to the person that we actually work with now, he was like, yeah, probably like $8,000. $8,000 to over $100,000.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, they just, it's highway robbery. Like, yeah. but that's the thing, is like, if you don't know what you're doing,
they can do it.
And sure, like, if you have all the money in the world, then great, it's super fucking easy because you just like basically dump it into somebody else's hands and say, this is what I want.
But it's, I feel like that route, like, no, like, no, I don't know anything about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I feel like that route is so much less personalized.
It is. It is.
And I just feel like, I don't know. It doesn't, if somebody did that and I knew that they did that, I would be like a lot less inclined to like buy their product. Not because the product isn't as good or whatever. You know, sure, that's an option. But that's how, like, I feel kind of about that. It's like, okay, so you just, like, went on a website. I know this isn't how it works, but it's like, okay, you went on a website, you were like, I like this, this, and this, make it.
Yeah. Well, and like, it is kind of that way. And like, you know, they do a really good job. And like, this company's won like tons and tons of awards for like their packaging and stuff like that. And all these different things that they've created. And they've worked with like a lot of, you know, the main brands that you would like know of. But it is different. It is so different. And like, you just naturally aren't going to be as involved because you don't have to be.
Yeah.
So you don't really know what's going on in the back end and what's not.
Right.
And so you might not even know who your manufacturer is, what's going on at that time, like when to expect, like there's so much that you're left out on. And also, you know, for me and my mom, we wanted to understand how do we do this? Like we don't know how to do it right now, but like, how do we do this so that we can learn and we know?
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of exploring that avenue, and we've been talking to them for several months, went down to the LA office, didn't vibe with them. They didn't pass the vibe check at all. And then we ended up meeting the New York office, which we got along with them way better and we really liked them. And so we were kind of just doing this parallel to trying to negotiate with this investor. Things ended up falling through with the investor. We didn't move forward with that. And then we also decided not to move forward with the middleman company. Yeah. Couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
Wasn't loving the process. And also, like, you know, it's, they have a lot of like in-house people, like I was saying, like all like their creative design and stuff like that. And I don't know how to explain this other than like, they were giving me exactly what I was asking for, but that's not what I wanted. Like,
right.
Like I wanted them to just get what I mean. Like I wanted them to interpret what I was trying to get across to them and not just give me like a regurgitated version of that.
Mm.
So the packaging was just not in line with like what I was actually kind of envisioning, or hoping for it to be. And anyways, it just wasn't working out. Didn't happen. So me and my mom were at like a little bit of a crossroads because, again, I can't remember what your question was.
When you actually started working on it.
Forever ago is how I'm going to answer that. But we were at a crossroads. I ended up calling this friend of mine, this colleague of mine from the industry that I had known for several years. And I was just like, he had mentioned that he was planning on starting his own brand. And I was like, how are you fucking doing this, dude? Like, I do not understand. I don't get how anybody's doing this. It seems like such an undertaking. Where do I even begin? And he was like, let's do it together. So long story short is what he said. So that is who the person that we're in business with now. And we've done like everything ourselves, like top to bottom. And when I say ourselves, I mean, he's like such a workhorse and we are like along for the ride, just like learning along the way. And it's been like the best experience. It's been like so much more of us actually being involved and feeling like this is like our business and our company.
Yeah.
And not like we're just like handing the reins over.
That's, yeah, that is kind of what I meant by like the middleman thing. It's like, that is how it feels. Even like seeing you and hearing you talk about it and stuff like that, it's like you're so involved and like these products like truly came from your heart sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
instead of being like, oh yeah, that looks good.
Well, and I think it's so nice too, because like this partner, I already gushed about the people that are on our team, but this partner is just so good at like interpreting what I'm trying to get across and mm-hmm. not bulldozing my ideas, not trying to make it something that it's not trying to like talk me out of doing things the way that I want to do them. Like, you know, he's just very in line with like, yeah, let's make it happen. Like what you want to see, let's do it and figure out how we're going to do it.
Right.
And so it's just been the best process. But anyways, started working with that person probably closer to 3 years ago.
I think that that's when I remember you talking about the makeup brand, was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's when I thought, that's the thing is like, because you kept it so close to your chest, like that's when I thought like you decided you were going to do a makeup brand, not like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's just like, it was so, because I say 6 years ago and that is not me working on it every day for 6 years.
No, of course not. It's so, like, but that's when it came to you. Mm-hmm. You, yeah, decided.
Yeah. And so I think, like, for so long, it just didn't feel real. And honestly, even for, I would say it wasn't until the past, like, year, which we've been working on this brand, like it's been happening.
Yeah.
For, like, 2 years. And we started working with him 3 years ago, but 2 years, like, where we started, like, actually, like, getting all our samples and finalizing products and all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't say, like, until this past year have I actually been like, oh, wow, like, this is happening. Like, it's, yeah, it's going through now. And that's when I started feeling like, now I can talk to people about it.
Yeah.
But it's, even now talking about it, I'm like, oh, my God, like, are we going to get to launch? Like, I just don't, it just doesn't feel... Like, how can this possibly just, like, happen?
Yeah.
Holy crap. This is going to be me really dominating this podcast.
Well, it's your makeup brand.
Yeah. I so, guess so. Like,
that was the whole point. I don't think people want to hear about
me. Sam, shut the fuck up.
People aren't tuning in to hear about your makeup brand from me secondhand.
They might be. They might be.
How has my experience with Auric been? Well, you know.
You have had to sample a lot of products.
Yeah.
You got more coming. But you had asked about the name as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a tumultuous experience this was. We had decided on a name years ago. Like, this was 4 years ago probably that we had decided on the initial name that we wanted. And then trademarking is hell on earth. We had gone... We had gone through the process of starting to trademark the name in Canada. And I think we actually got the name in Canada, if I recall correctly. This was so long ago now. But I think we actually got the name in Canada. And when we went to go trademark in the States, it was a conflict because there was a company that had a really similar name in the same field. So we wouldn't, our trademark wouldn't get approved.
Right.
And so then we... had the choice of either moving forward without trademarking the name and risking that other company suing us,
mm-hmm,
or changing the name.
Yeah.
And I was so attached to this name. Like, we had already seen packaging with the name on it and stuff like that. And it was just like, ugh, like, I was just like, no, like, I just don't want this to happen. And this was right after our wedding when we got this news that, like, we would have to change the name, basically. And so I was in... South Africa. And so my partner texted me and he was like, it's not happening. Like, we have to change the name. So we had this kind of brand story. Like, gold is really, like, a big influence in our packaging, and kind of, like, the whole storyline and, you know, like, relating gold back to, like, how valuable, like, people are to us and all that kind of stuff and art and everything. And so I Googled for hours, just like synonyms for gold, synonyms for glowing, synonyms for, like, just like trying to find something that I felt like fit. And I've continued to do that for, like, so many different things, like, for, like, when we're naming.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The actual products and different stuff like that, that's what I've, like, sat and done, is just, like, looked up synonyms of things. And I, through doing this, I stumbled across the name, the word Auric, which means derived from gold. And so I really liked, it was five letters, which the original name was five letters. I really liked that. I had to like sit with it for a bit, and I like sent it over to the people that we work with. And I was like, what do you guys think about this? Like, these are a couple names that I had pulled. And Auric was the one that ended up like coming through for us and feeling like the best fit. And so all in all, like having to like give up the first name was so devastating at first. And now I'm like, I wouldn't have it any other way, because this name feels so right in such a different way.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is hurtful for me to say, but
go hard.
But I like love and resonate with Auric so much more mm-hmm. than the first name. Like the first name, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like I had to get used to it, sort of thing. But when you brought up Auric, I think we were in the hot tub when you told me, like you brought up Auric, and I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Like I was like all about it. Like when like I'm involved in this at all.
when I was developing the products,
I was going to say like when we saw the packaging, but it's because I saw the packaging. Obviously you yeah. created the packaging, but when I saw the packaging for the first time, with it all, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, it's just like, yeah. I feel
the same way. Like I resonate with the name so much more now too. And it feels, it was birthed from such turmoil.
Yeah.
That it feels so much more like solid to me for some reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm happy that ended up happening. Like all's well that ends well. So yeah. that's where the name came from. I asked you guys like what questions you had for me on this is Instagram. Someone said, are you clenching your butt cheeks about the launch?
Well, are you?
Yes. Yeah. Like I went from being like really, 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 really nervous. And then we did the photo shoot and I felt so much better. I was like, oh my God, no, this is great. Everything's great. Like it's all coming together, because like photo shoot days have and always will be pure magic.
Yeah.
Like I met my partner, I think the first time we actually met was on a photo shoot, and it was like the best day. Like it was just so much fun. Like we had such a good day for a different brand he was working for at the time. And then that photo shoot was so good for Auric. And then I was feeling really good. And now I'm just like, oh my God, let's just get this out, because yeah. it just feels like so slow.
Well, there's just, I think when you care so much about something, there's a lot of anxiety and like stress around it, because mm-hmm. you want it to do well. Like if you didn't care about it, you wouldn't care. you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing, is like for so long I was so nervous, because I was like, oh my God, like are people going to, I know that I like it, but like, are people going to like it? Are they going to be happy with it? Is it going to perform well for them the same way it does for me? And so I was like almost like not wanting to launch, because I was like, no, like I don't want to like put this in people's hands and then they might not like it. Like I just, yeah. it was such a weird fear. But now I'm like, oh my God, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Like I'm just so ready to just
yeah
get it done.
Well, because like it's so, again, like so close to your heart. It's like anybody, not that you wouldn't accept criticism, but like anybody saying anything, it's like, my baby.
Yeah, yeah.
How could you speak to my baby like that?
Do you want to pick some questions?
Yeah, sure. And then I guess you can just decide if you don't want to answer them.
Okay.
Okay, someone asked, how do you find reliable labs?
Our team. So our, my partner and our main like product development, I always call her girl, but woman. they both have worked in the cosmetic industry for years and years and years. And so they already had like long-standing connections with packaging companies, fulfillment centers, and you know, actual labs for developing formulas and stuff like that. So they are them. That's how.
Aces in their places.
Otherwise it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah,
like there's just so many labs out there, and like yeah. different countries as well, you know, are known for being really good for certain types of products.
Mm-hmm.
But you might not know that or know where to even start looking. It's a nightmare, dude. Like, it's yeah. insane.
What factors did you consider when choosing which products to launch first?
We went so back and forth. There were so many different things that we were going to launch with first. The main thing was for me was that I really wanted to create products that I want to use every single day. And so, you know, like I looked at my collection of products, like from other brands, and I was like, what do I feel so good in? Like, what do I love? Like, what, why do I love it? Like, why do I love these textures and these formulas and whatever? And so that was kind of how I took inspiration to like move forward. And so most people that follow me know, like, I love cream products. Like, I think they just look so beautiful on the skin and they offer such a different texture. And because like I've struggled with acne and texture and stuff like that, like I love, and dryness as well. I just love how like cream products look all over the place. So I knew that I wanted to launch with a cream. And I had brought this idea to my team of like, I really want to do like a liquid luminizer, and I want this to be a product that's really flexible across like different skin tones. I want it to be really flexible, like in that you can use it in a lot of different ways. Like you can use it under foundation, mix it with foundation, over top of foundation, mix it with moisturizer, and just have it be something that works with everything. And then that's when we started working on the luminizer. And then as we were working on the formula, I was just like, oh, this just feels so right to launch with, because that is a product that I wear every single day. And it's like that finishing, like it's the last thing that I put on in my makeup routine.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, done.
Yeah.
Like I feel flawless after that. And then with the eye duos, eyeshadow palettes have been such a thing in the industry for the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
I do love eyeshadow palettes. I like eyeshadow palettes is like kind of a lot of brands go to for like a first launch.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of, it's fun. Like, it's kind of like a fun product to make. And like,
when it's a fun product to buy as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, pricey, but oftentimes. Yeah. But yeah.
But it's like fun putting together that many colors and all that kind of stuff. You know, like it's just such a like, it's such a like classic product. But we really felt like the market was super oversaturated with eyeshadow palettes right now, and had been for a while. And so we had just noticed this kind of like lull for customers where they were like not really like using that product as much. And again, like I want something that people are going to reach for all the time. And so if us putting out an eyeshadow palette at launch meant that that eyeshadow palette was going to sit in your like drawer with everything else,
right,
you know, like it just didn't feel right. And so for me, I have eyeshadow palettes that I love and I use them like interchangeably and stuff like that, but for me it was always about those like additional products that I was adding on top of the eyeshadow palette. So like that was like cream shadows and like toppers that were like really nice and like glittery and textured and stuff like that. And so that's why we decided to do the eye duo. So that's a cream shadow on the bottom that you can wear by itself, and then a like really like nice like fine glitter shadow that you can wear over top or by itself as well. And so it's kind of like three products in one in that way. And you can get really different looks with it. And that was like, for me, it's like no matter what eyeshadow palette I'm wearing, doesn't really matter because I'm like finishing it with an eye duo. And so that was kind of like our inspiration for that product.
Every time you wear the eye duo, I don't even know that that's what it is. But then I say, your eyeshadow looks so good. What are you wearing? And then you say, the eye duo. And yeah, it really is. Like, it's not even like I'm trying to freaking lick your asshole. It's just like, I really like, it looks so good. I hate that I just said lick your asshole. You know what I mean?
Too late now. Can't take it back.
What about your brand do you feel like stands out compared to others? Also, major congrats.
Oh, thank you. This was something that I felt really strongly about when I first started thinking about launching a brand. So I have, I'm a professionally trained makeup artist. Like, I've worked in the industry as like an actual makeup artist. And then obviously I like segued into being an influencer and stuff like that. And working really closely with brands. And the thing that I thought, I started to notice, like, I would look at things from like two different angles. Like, I would look at things as like an influencer, and then I would look at things as like a makeup artist. And those were always like kind of conflicting views on things, because there's brands that are like really artistry. Mm-hmm. And then there's brands that are like really consumer and brands that are really influencer kind of style. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to like bring all of these elements together of like, you know, like my background in makeup artistry, my experience as an influencer, and how that's allowed me to try like so many different products and so many different brands and really get a sense of like, what do I love and why?
Right.
And, you know, like I'm in a unique position in that sense because a lot of people, I've just tried thousands and thousands and thousands of different products. And like a lot of people don't get that opportunity, obviously, because that's right. ridiculous. So, you know, like I think that like that for me was like a really good foundation to start my brand with, just because I felt like I was able to look at it from all of these different angles.
Right.
And then as well, not to like toot my own horn, you know, but like I do feel like I've tried really hard to operate everything that I do in my business as like an influencer by like my beliefs mm-hmm. and my morals and what's really important to me. And that was something that, you know, as we've like learned more and become more like socially conscious and stuff like that as like a society, and especially working online, like you learn so much and you gain like so much from hearing about other people's experiences and stuff. And that was something where like time and again, I was left feeling really kind of like disappointed by a lot of brands that I had once loved, because like when you start to dig a little bit deeper, you're like, oh, you know, maybe the people behind this brand aren't what I thought they would be. Maybe the morals of this brand isn't what I thought it would be. Like,
right.
you know, I see where they're cutting corners. I see where they're, you know, dismissing people or they're choosing not to be inclusive or whatever. And that was something as well that for me became a larger and larger and larger gap that I was seeing in the market. And so I personally didn't want to compromise. Like, I didn't want to have to compromise. Like, I love luxury products, but like so many luxury brands aren't cruelty free, and so many luxury brands are owned by real pieces of shit. And like, yeah. you know, like, and I didn't want to have to like compromise in all of these different areas and be like, well, but like,
yeah.
you know, like I love this packaging though. But like, you know, and so I think that that was kind of where I felt like Auric just snuggled right in to yeah. the industry.
I agree. Thanks. Someone asked, is there anything you wish you would have done differently up until this point?
I wish I would have been a millionaire. I wish that I could have started sooner, but I really wouldn't. Like, just because, like, I obviously, like, the industry is so saturated now, and, like, it just would have been fun to, like, be working on this because I do find it so fulfilling. So it would have been fun to have been, like, working on this earlier. But I wouldn't change anything because I would know that that means some cog in this machine wouldn't be the same.
Right.
And so then it wouldn't be what it is now, and then I wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
So.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, cheesy. Exactly. It's true.
Someone asked, favorite thing to work on / design, packaging, formulas, colors, etc.
Oh, God. It's not actually fun until it is. Like, it's really stressful.
Yeah.
Like, for the first little bit, like, just trying to convey to all of these different, because, again, like, there's so many different elements that go into, like, creating a product. And so trying to convey to all of these different people and manufacturers and labs and stuff like that what you want to, like, this extreme specification is really quite stressful.
Yeah.
And it's time consuming as well. And so but when you get it right, like when you get a sample back and you're like, yes, this is the pump, like, or like this is the bottle, or
yeah,
this is the formula or the color, like it's perfect now, that's when it becomes like, oh, this was so satisfying, this was so worth it and so like yeah. fun now. And was it what's the best part? Or the worst part?
No, your most, what do you like to work on the most? Like, what's, yeah.
I like to work on everything because, like, it's all of these things coming together.
Yeah.
I just don't ever want to hear the price of anything. because I want to just do everything exactly how I want to do it. But then yeah. people are like, well, Sam, that's going to cost money. And I'm like, I just, why though? Maybe we all just like go in on this for fun just because like it'll be a fun time. Why not? Like, that's the only thing that is not fun to work on is like the numbers side of things. But I really enjoy everything else.
Yeah.
It's fun, man.
I feel like if I was starting something, it would probably be the packaging. Well, because like I don't know enough about makeup formulas to care. But like the packaging would be so fun for me.
The packaging is really, really satisfying for sure. Because I like as a consumer of makeup, I've always been a fucking sucker for packaging. Like yeah. Which is why like I've always kind of leaned more towards like luxury brands. Because like I like the whole experience. Like, because again, like that's what makes makeup like so special to me is like everything.
Yeah.
Every little part. So the packaging is like really satisfying for sure.
Well, and even if you like have your makeup out on the counter or something like mm-hmm. that, like when I used to travel for work, I would, every hotel that I was in, I would take two glasses out of the little like whatever, and I would put all my brushes in them, and then I would set up all my makeup on the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I would like walk in and be like, ooh. So if like all that makeup is like this, like half, you know, those Wet n Wild blushes that were just like the plastic clear top that mm-hmm, always got broken mm-hmm. down the middle.
Yeah.
Like if that shit's like sitting there, it just doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
As like this beautiful like packaging or whatever. So I agree.
I like the weight too. Like when I pick up yeah. something and I'm like, ooh, my wrist is fatigued. That's like a really like good, ugh, yeah.
Yeah. My God, I know. I can't even like describe it.
She's dying.
Yeah, I wonder if it's because it's, like, a little cold up here for me. So, like, it's as if we're, like, on this ski mountain or something like that.
It's so cold inside this house. It's as if we're on a ski mountain.
That might be a little bit of an exaggeration.
This is what – this is the
these are the working conditions.
The conditions that I put Alyssa through.
Well, but this heater isn't working anymore. I have to work up here after this,
I'm going to get a tenancy complaint. This is not livable conditions.
I'm taking you to the landlord board.
Yeah, do it.
No, my house is super, super warm. it's just up here that's fucking freezing.
It is fucking cold up here.
One day I was editing up here. It was even colder than this. And I couldn't edit anymore because my fingers like wouldn't move.
Mm.
So I was like,
eh. Yeah.
I was like, I can't work anymore.
Like when it's so cold outside in the winter, you can't like text and then you have to just be like, I just can't. So yeah. I guess I'll just wait.
Yeah. This is something a lot of people have asked me, so I'll just answer this. Has Alyssa helped in any way? I'm not a part of the makeup brand, like, at all, in any way.
Everyone's a part of it in a little way.
Okay, well, sure. But, like, I haven't created anything. I'm not, like, Sam's assistant. I want to be Sam's assistant, honestly. Like, I fucking, sometimes I just want to, like, send an email.
You say that, but then wait until, like, oh, my God, like, the shit... I was putting together the PR list last night, and so I had to reach out to everybody individually for their address. It doesn't sound like that big of a deal. Fucking time consuming. Like, my eyes were, like, burning in my skull, like, just trying to, like, type in this spreadsheet.
I just, honestly, like, I thought about being a personal assistant, like, to, like, businessmen at one point in my life, and I honestly think I would fucking crush it.
Oh, for sure you would.
So sometimes I do, like, when you're like, I have to do this, and I'm like, oh, just let me do it for you. I'm like, I'll go to the post office. Anyway, no, I haven't been a part of it. Like, I've obviously been a part of it as a friend, like, listening and, like, going back and forth just, like, as, like, an ear, I guess.
Sampling products, having products sampled on her.
Yeah, stuff like that. But in, you know, it's like... This is Sam's thing. Like, I have my things. Sam has her things. It's not like in any way, like, I was a part of, like, you know what I'm saying. You get what
You're
I'm saying.
Here for it.
I was here for it, but, like, I don't have my hand in the luminizer jar, you know? but somebody in here actually asked, has Matt helped in any way?
Oh, Matt. Matt is in, like, such a different industry. So, like, Matt's in trucking. I think he's mentioned on the podcast before. And then he owns an ATM business as well. Could not be more separate from cosmetics. So Matt yeah. will like try to like lend his two cents every now and again, and I'm like, babe,
yeah,
no, that's not. But Matt, more than anything, is just like really, really supportive, and
yeah,
I think that's. I've met men like relationship wise and stuff like that, and even friendship wise that have like really kind of made light of what I do, because it's like, oh, your fucking makeup, like, you know, like, I don't know. And Matt's never ever once like belittled me for anything like that. Like, he's always really you know, respected what I'm doing and taken it seriously, and never kind of made me feel like, eh, like that's a little fucking lofty. Like, he was, you know, always like right behind me 110%. So that's like the biggest way that Matt has been like such a huge help for me, because it is really it's hard. It's hard starting a business, and it's hard like keeping up the momentum of feeling like I can do this and it's gonna work out and whatever. Like, it's so easy to get in this place of like, man, like, is this worth the risk? Like, is this worth the time? And, you know, there's just so many different like emotions that kind of go into it along the way. And so he just, you know, was always rock steady.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do one more question. Someone asked, what has been the hardest obstacle to overcome during this process?
Let's end on a bad note.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. It's all really difficult. It's exponentially more difficult doing it during COVID.
During a worldwide pandemic? Why?
What's the problem? Not a benefit. it's just been like, it's interfered in every possible way. Like, it delays shipping. You know, like, one of our products is made in Italy. Italy was like one of the first to get hit in a really big way. So our lab went from, you know, full steam to like 50% capacity overnight.
Yeah.
And so things really slowed down. And then as well, you know, normally we would be able to travel and meet with labs, meet with manufacturers and stuff like that, meet with our partners, like our team. Mm-hmm. Because it's also so different trying to do everything over the phone. And I know, like, obviously a lot of people can probably, you know, relate to that, because so many people have had to start working over Zoom and
yeah,
stuff like that this year. But it's so different because when you're in person, like, you're just able to like bang shit out so much quicker and get so much done in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And it's so different as well, like, just like brainstorming in person too. And so that part was really hard, like not being able to see our team as much as we'd like to, because we're half in Canada, half in the States. And then not being able to test products on people directly.
Yeah.
Because as well, like, you know, in January, before we realized that this was a thing, we had traveled down to LA, me and my mom, last January, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, that feels like forever ago. Like, that feels like 4 years ago. In January, we had traveled down because we were working on the shade range for the Luminizer. And we were originally planning on doing, like, a way smaller, like, we were going to do 3 shades, and then it became 5 shades, and then it became 6 shades, and now it's at 7 shades.
Yeah.
But we were working on this shade range, and we had hired, like, a bunch of models to come to this, like, workspace. Sounds so shitty for some reason. And just try the product on them in person so that I could see, like, how is it working on their skin tone? How does it look inside? How does it look outside in daylight? How does it look under flash? Like, all of these different things, so that we could kind of see what we needed to tweak in the color of the product. And then never again were we able to do that.
Yeah.
So what we had to start doing was, like, obviously what I could try myself and, like, and refine myself, I would. But then we had to start sending samples, NDAs across the board.
Yeah.
We had to start sending samples out to people, you know, like, of different skin tones, so that we could get people to sample it in person and take pictures and videos and send it back to us and stuff like that. And that was how we had to develop the shade range, because we had no other option, and we didn't want to put people at risk to make a makeup product.
No, for sure.
You know, so that was what we ended up having to do. So that will be, like, I say it all the time lately, especially, I just can't imagine, like, how simple in comparison it will be to, like, run this business, and how much more, like, we'll just be able to be so much speedier with everything, and, yeah, and it will feel so much more like, oh, okay, like for sure we've got this, and we're not just like fucking hoping on a prayer kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because we'll be able to do everything in person and, you know, and be there. So COVID has been, I'm grateful almost in a way that we've had to run the bulk of our business during this time, because we learned all these ways to get creative and right. figure out how to do it anyways. But it'll be fucking awesome when we don't have to.
Yeah. It's almost like you're doing the hardest part in the worst circumstances. So like, mm-hmm. you know, you could do it in the best circumstances.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
well, and like we get to miss out on a lot of, like we've missed out on a lot of things. Like not being able to be there for production was really shitty and stuff, because it was just, and like my mom, both of us really, but like my mom's like so emotional, and it just sucks. Like it just sucks, like having worked on this thing and then not be able to be there for like such a huge moment and see it for the first time. And, you know, because we won't get that moment back. Like we won't be in production for the first time ever again.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just been a different experience. But I would say that's been, there's been a lot of challenges, but I think that's been the one that continually has been like, oh, fuck.
Fucking COVID.
Yeah, like I just
You wish. And literally everybody in the world.
Exactly. <yeah. laughs>
But like,
exactly.
You know, I can't imagine like trying to start a business like, you know, during this time. And I know a lot of people have struggled and. Ugh,
yeah. COVID. What like, a fucking year, man. If 2021 doesn't shape up, I swear to shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I, you know, there was like a lot of negative things in 2020 for me, for sure. But like, also, I still feel grateful. Like, I still had a good year.
I think like a lot of really like exciting new beginnings for sure.
Yeah.
In 2020, especially for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's literally it. That is all that there is to know.
We could probably sit here like all day and answer questions.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that you're going to, you know, be answering questions about it.
But take me out to dinner first.
Okay.
I don't let it all go on the first date, guys.
Oh, stop. You saucy minx. Okay. Yeah, well, boy. It was a pleasure to hear some new things, actually, that I didn't even know.
Hey, I'm here for it.
And, go buy it, guys.
Please buy it. That's it.
All right, guys. We will see you in the next one.
Bye, guys.
Bye.